Pastor Judy and I are going to kind of tag team today. Is that okay? We're going to kick off this month. And so she's going to share some of the things that are going to be happening, even more so. You heard it through announcements. A lot of exciting things. Dr. Tom and Maureen Anderson's going to be here next week. Come on. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait to spend time with them. And I know that they're going to have a word for us as a congregation.
Hallelujah. Amen. This is an exciting month. You need to get excited about this. Amen. And this month we have designed so many things for the family. And you know, some people say, "Well, what? It's cool, the spiritual part, but why do we need the fun? We need the fun part. Our kids need the fun part." We just had movie night, and it was a great success. We had a lot of people come out. We had a lot of first-time people come out through the events, and that is just so awesome. Amen. And so we're offering so much for you and for your families. And because we want you to grow, we want you to get nurtured, we want you to have strong families, because strong families build a strong church, and strong families build a strong kingdom. Amen? So this whole month has been designed with a family in mind, whether you're married or single, or you're a young child or a teenager. There is something for you. Amen? And so I just want to give you a few things that are going to be happening. We had movie night last night. We're going to have Friday night is October 8th is a family game night for the family. And it's called what? Family Feud. And you know what? People say, "Oh, should we be feuding in church?" You know,
we have enough of that at home.
I know. But if you ever saw that, how many of you have ever seen the show Family Feud? It's so cool. It's just families. It's a game, and families. They could be. You could have you and your children, or you and your sisters, or brothers, or mother. You can add anybody to your family that you want to be in this game. Okay, so you can call them up. I think there's how many do we need, Jazar, on each? Four or more, okay? So four or more needs to be on a team, and we need lots of teams, and we want you to sign up. You have to go and register and sign up, and Jazar will take care of it. He'll communicate with you, but it's going to be so much fun. And basically, they just ask questions, you know, that I don't know how the questions come from. They ask 100 people questions, and those answers are what comes up or whatever, but it is going to be a blast. And we have, what is it, a $200 gift certificate to a restaurant to take your family out to dinner for the winner. And we have some runner-up prizes. And you know what? Even if you're not going to be a part of it, come out and be in the audience and root these families on. It'll be cool. So call your family up. It might be the first time they come to church, but say, "Hey, listen, we're going to play Family Feud. I want you to come because you're good." You know, tell them how good they are and smart they are, and that you need them, okay? And then Pastor Tom and Maureen Anderson's going to be with this. And listen, they have taught on the family for years. I think they've been married for, I don't know, at least 50 years, if not longer. But their whole, the strength of their church is their family. They've written books, How to Make Marriage a Love Story, and it'll change your life. You want to be in those meetings, and they're going to be here Sunday morning and Sunday night, okay, on October 10th. Then there's going to be Youth Night, Youth Alive. We are going to have a big outreach to our youth. And listen, if you can help out, just give your name to the experience team, and they'll connect you with Seth. Seth, are you in the room? Is he in the room? He might be in the restroom or somewhere, but anyhow, that's going to be an awesome. And listen, folks, we need to sow into our youth. You might say, I don't have youth, I don't have this, but we need to sow seed. Do you know? I've been listening to Dr. Cho's testimony again, and do you know that it was a high school student, a senior high school student, that went and knocked on Dr. Cho's door every day and brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? She led him in that prayer. He received Jesus, a senior high school, and he's got the largest church in the world. He's just gone on to be with the Lord. But that's amazing, isn't it? A youth, a teenager, a high school student led Dr. Cho. And don't you think that when she gets to heaven, there's going to be, the Bible talks about he that winneth souls is wise. There's going to be a lot of account that's going to go to her. And then we're going to have our children dedication. Now, listen, I know I mentioned October 31st to somebody, but it's not October 31st. It's going to be October 17th. And you don't want to miss that Sunday. That Sunday, Pastor Mike and Laurie are going to be teaching on raising your children in the kingdom. Amen? And we're also going to follow that up with the baby dedication at the end of the second service, okay? Or children dedication. So if you have children at any age, that's the day you want to bring them. We're going to dedicate them. We're going to pray over them as pastors and dedicate them to the Lord. Amen? And then we're going to have a children's workshop Saturday, October 23rd with Ken and Trudy Blount. And he is going to talk about raising the next generation to usher in the Great Awakening. And I'm telling you, our kids, they're sensitive to the Spirit. If you train them up, they don't have to unlearn a lot. And this is going to be a dynamic Sunday. He's going to be ministering Sunday morning. And also, the Saturday before that, on October 23rd, we're going to have a special children's workshop. And we want everybody, we want to let you know, why is it important? Why is children's ministry important? That Saturday morning will change your life, amen, and help you with your children. So we don't want you to miss that. Listen, our children, I can tell you, recently I've had some experiences with our children, that I've shared and we'll be sharing going forward, that will change your, they get serious about prayer. They have revelation. You sit and talk to some of our 6, 7, 8-year-olds, they have revelation that I'm like, is this a kid talking to me, or is this a, And so I'm telling you, we're gonna see revival in every area, amen. And so anyhow, with that, and then we're gonna have the panel, and on the panel we're gonna have some questions, and we're also gonna deal a little bit with dating and singles a little bit that day. But we're gonna have a panel of all questions, so you all have a piece of paper on your seat. If you don't have a question today, take it with you. Think about it. We need your questions, because that day there's going to be a panel up here, and we are going to answer your questions according to what we know in the Word of God. Amen? And so that's going to happen on October 31st, and then we're going to end it with trunk or treat that night. Amen? For our kids. So listen, it's going to be a great week, and I just want you, to be a part of it. Sometimes you say, people, when we're teaching on the family, they don't think that sounds spiritual. That's the most spiritual thing we can do, is build a strong family. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Judy. Glory to God. So don't miss anything, all right? Mark them on your calendars, to-do list, come to church, don't miss out. And you might think one particular service won't minister to you, but it will, all right? No matter what, families look different now than when I was growing up, but hey, we're still family. Amen? Glory to God. So you can click the timer, guys, for me. Praise the Lord. Let's turn Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Okay, I'm going to try to lay the foundation, and Pastor Judy's going to come back up and finish this today. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 28. Most of us are familiar with this, but this is a good foundation scripture to kick off the family month, all right? Now, remember, God did not have man he created the heavens and the earth and the trees and everything, and then something was missing, and all of a sudden he thought, well, let's make man. No, he had man in his mind, in his heart, before he created all the beautiful things that he put on this earth. Hallelujah. It's for us. It was for mankind to live in and work in and participate in and have dominion over. So it says, then God said, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was in a board meeting, hallelujah, in heaven. Let us make man in our image. And we could preach a message just on that. Amen. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Amen. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them. Hallelujah. I want you to notice that. God blessed them, man and woman, hallelujah, together. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Hallelujah. Man was the crowning act of creation. You and I, mankind, men and women, hallelujah, we were the crowning act of God in creation. Everything was made for us, and we were to have dominion over that. And of course, we know the enemy came in and stole that dominion, but Jesus brought it back to us. Glory to God. And so man was a crowning act of creation. God desired a family. That's why, you know, I don't know all the animals. He created all the animals. Some the different thoughts about the dinosaurs. That was pre-creation. I don't know. But anyway, everything he made, he made for his pleasure, of course, but there was something missing. God wanted a family. God wanted a family, something more important. You know, we can substitute things. Well, I want to buy this thing. I want to buy that thing. But the most precious thing, commodity that we have is our family. Amen? And we've got, and through this week, we're going to learn to appreciate and honor our family. Glory to God. Lift it higher. God puts priority on family. Hallelujah. No matter what that family looks like. So I can say that the family unit is foundational in the mind of the Father. Hallelujah. In fact, the family was the key to enable Jesus to be birthed into the earth. Amen. Because the Bible says that Jesus, the Lamb, was slain before the foundation of the world. God knew, because of his foreknowledge, he knew everything, the scenarios that was going to happen. He knew that Adam and Eve were going to yield to Satan and sin. And so he prepared all of these things. That's why you have prophetic books, that you've seen everything line by line come to pass. And we're living in the last days now. But the family was the means by which Jesus could be birthed into this earth. In fact, he said in Genesis, the seed of the woman would crush Satan's head. Amen. That's why your families are anointed and literally can take dominion and crush the enemy's head. Hallelujah. There's nothing that will be impossible to you and your family, no matter, again, what that family looks like. Maybe a one-parent family or whatever it might be. Even singles here, you are a part of the family. You have a family, and you need to pray. If your family aren't, if they're not born again and saved and in the kingdom, you need to pray them in. Hallelujah. So family is priority. In fact, Cindy Jacobs, powerful woman of God, she had a word from the Lord, and I'm going to put it in everyday terms, okay? But the word of the Lord was, in this time, the emphasis is to be God calling the family back to himself. Amen. God calling the family back to himself because of the awakening, because of the move of God that's coming on the scene. You're going to see whole families touched and lives changed because of the anointing. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so all through the Bible, Jesus, you know, we're going to have a baby a children's dedication, and Jesus said, allow the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So all through the Bible, and over in, and I'm sure we'll be dealing with those later, but in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul deals with the family through chapter 5, verse 33, through chapter 6, verse 4. He talks about husbands treasuring your wives. Husbands treasuring your wives. He talks about children obeying the parents. Come on, children, say amen. Amen. No matter how old of a child you are, all right, we are to honor our parents. And, of course, the instruction, again, is throughout the whole Bible, parents instructing children, amen, leading the way, sharing the way for the children to go, praise God, bringing them up. And that's why Satan's number one thing, number one assignment is to destroy the family. From the very beginning, that's why all the babies are being aborted. And it goes way back even in Moses' day, right? Yeah. Remember what happened? For some way, Satan knows that he's got to stomp out the family. He did it in Moses' life. Moses' mother hit him in the bulrush, you remember? And Pharaoh's daughter came and got him. And all the way through, God has supernaturally protected the families who stood together. And there's some times now in this earth that we've got to be empowered and anointed as a family. We cannot be a divided family. We can't be a divided church family, and we cannot be a divided family. Amen. If you have a family, pray for unity. Pray for love. Love like you've never loved before, because that's so vitally important. And so this whole month, I encourage you to come and pray and pray for us who are teaching these series. Pastor Mike and Lori will be, Pastor Tom and Maureen next week, and then Pastor Mike and Lori, and then Ken Blount will be ministering to us, and then the panel. So many things. And listen, pray for your family during this season. Pray, uplift them before the throne of God. Claim their salvations if they're not born again. And if they are, claim that the Holy Ghost will get a hold of them and bring them back into church. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of us have raised our children. The Bible says if you train them in the way they should go, even after they have departed and, you know, did what they thought was right. And we've all been through that as older people. Amen. We've all through that season in life. But the Bible says that they'll have the seed of the Word of God in them, and that God will bring them back. They'll not be able to run from the Lord. Hallelujah. Because of the prayers of the mom and dads and the grandparents. They're all before the throne of God. And let me tell you, there is hope for your family. That's right. Amen? Amen? You're going to get together. You're going to unite. And you're going to be a detriment to the devil. Hallelujah. And we're going to see the greatest awakening that's ever hit this earth. Praise God. Remember, the seed of the woman's going to crush the devil's head. Hallelujah. And we are the seed. Praise God. Amen. Come on, let's lift up our hand and shout. Pastor Judy, come on up and finish this thing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. You know what? Some of you might be thinking, I wish I could have done things over. Well, even when we do our best, there's still things that we could have changed. Amen? And we just got to trust God to make those adjustments and to help us out. And that's what he does. He helps us out. What was that? Goodness. you know, Pastor Ed has this unique thing he does, you know, this little cough, you know. It's so funny because whenever we're looking for him in a big store like a Walmart or someplace like that, Donna and I, we just kind of listen for the cough. We go, oh, he's over there. One time I did that, and it wasn't him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you right now for the word. We thank you for our families, and we thank you for revelation knowledge that flows through this place, because our faith is built on revelation knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, here we are. There we go. I'm going to read the scripture in Joshua 24, 14, and 15, and I hope I gave you that. I have some scriptures that I might not have given you guys, but just try to follow me, okay? All right. In verse 14, Joshua is speaking here. He says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. You know, if you read the scriptures before that, it talks about how they came into lands and homes that they did not build, how God had blessed them. And then in verse 14, he said, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Say faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers worshipped. You know, sometimes we want to worship the traditions of our family. But he's saying, throw away those gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Amen? And that's not just serving in church. It's not just even coming and sitting in church. It's serving God all the time. Amen? Families matter to God. So many people are fighting with their families, but we're going to talk this morning about fighting for your family. Amen? Fighting for your family, because the Bible talks about, in Nehemiah, it talks about fighting for your families. And I'm sure that you'll agree with me this morning that we're living in a time like no other. The attack on the families is at an all-time high. The devil knows that the time is short, and he's pulling out all the stops to minimize and confuse and distort and destroy the family. Unfortunately, a lot of people's attention is focused on what culture is saying. Come on now. Today, instead of what God's word is saying. And so they think somehow the Bible has changed. Well, it's, you know, that was years ago. Or that was this. God's word never changes. Amen. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever in all areas, not just in the promises of God, but in the ways that we live. Say amen. All right. And so the culture has nothing to say to us about how our families should function or how we should raise our children, how we should live as single adults. And I feel like this month, this family month, starting today, it will really help us to be a reset. Amen? Because sometimes we let too much of the world in and too much of the world's thoughts and thinking. And I remember when I first received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, when I first got saved, I remember thinking at that moment, I finally found truth. Like, it was not even, I hadn't even read a word of the Bible yet, but I knew that I knew that I knew there was a heaven to go to and a hell to stay out of. And I knew that I knew that the Bible was true. If there was one thing you can stand on, you know, even scientists have said 75% of the Bible has already come to pass. The Bible is true. You can stand on it. You can bank on it. It is true. Because there's so many opinions out there in the world, and you'll be like, well, should I do this with my kids, and should I do that, and should I drag them to church, and should I do this? Listen, we need to do what God's word says, and that's going to bring prosperity. That's going to bring victory. That's going to bring a strong family. Amen? If you will hear God's word and be a doer of God's word, you can reset your mind and your attention, and I have no idea who that is. To focus back on God's word away from culture and immerse yourself in God's word so you get the correct vision for your family. Amen? That's important. That's important. Let's look at Psalms 11, verses 3 and 4 in the Passion Translation. It says, what can the righteous accomplish? This is so true for today. Listen to this. This is Bible saying this. This was written years and years ago. What can the righteous accomplish when truth's pillars are destroyed and law and order collapse? Yet Yahweh is never shaken. He is still found in his temple of holiness, reigning as king over all. He closely watches and examines everything man does with a glance. His eyes examine every heart, for his heavenly rule will prevail. In the end, God will prevail. Amen. Hallelujah. He is prevailing. Let's look at Nehemiah 4, 13 and 15. We're going to talk about fighting for your family. Now, listen, we're talking about the importance of fighting for your family. But tonight, I'm telling you, if you can be here tonight, you want to be here. Because tonight, we're going to go into the how to fight for your family. We're going to give you a few pointers. How can I fight for my family? I'm just not getting anywhere. You need to be out here tonight. Amen? Nehemiah 4:13 through 15 says this. It says, therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. Now, Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. And I don't have time to get into the whole story, but the walls were teared down. And basically, he was going back and obeying God. And they're going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And so he says here, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by what? Families. Posting them by families with their swords, families with their swords, families with their spears, and families with their bows. Amen? After I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers. Fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. Fight for your homes. If we just treat this lightly, oh, this is just a great message, Pastor Judy. This is, you know, that's so cool. No, listen, we got to do the fighting. We got to get on our knees and do the fighting. We need to get the weapons out of the Word of God and do the fighting for our families, fighting for our families, fighting for our homes. Verse 15 says, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, how many of you like it when God frustrates the plot of the enemy? We all returned to the wall, each to his own work. And let's look at verse 20. In the New Living Translation, it says, when you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to wherever it is sounding, then our God will fight for us. When you fight for your families, God will fight for you. When you fight for your children, God will fight for you. When you fight for your parents or your sisters or your brothers or your grandparents, God will fight for you. When you fight for your homes, it's not you out there alone. God is fighting for you. That's when the angels go. That's when things begin to happen. Amen? He's saying if you fight for your family, God will fight for you. The attack on the 21st century is evident. We've seen it. It's upon the homes of people. We've got to understand that the values that we cherish and the ideas that we hold dear are worth fighting for. And the devil's trying to destroy those values. He's trying to destroy them. Family is worth fighting for. Marriage, if I can get anything across today, marriage is worth fighting for. Our homes are worth fighting for. We have to take a stand for our kids and for our homes and for our values. Listen, I didn't know this when I got married. And man, I was ready to run out the door at every argument. You know, what is going on here, you know? Just, you know, we're all selfish by nature. We all have in our nature, there's like an evil heart. And we're just like concerned about ourselves, concerned about our careers, concerned about our life, concerned about our arguments. But you know what? God wants us to fight for our families. And I wish I knew these things. But the one thing that kept my marriage together, and I remember it, I was in love with Jesus. I knew God had plucked me out of death. I knew that if I would have died before I would have received Jesus, I would not have made it to heaven. I was so thankful. And those thoughts kept me in my marriage. Those are what kept me. Even when I prayed for God to get me out of it, I didn't know any better. You know what I'm saying? But God showed me how to fall. When you stay in prayer, when you fight for your marriage, God will show you how to fall madly in love with your mate again. Amen? And God showed me that right on my knees. I was like, God, please, you know, let him go live with his parents. I won't tell anybody. We can pastor. I remember the prayer. And the Holy Spirit just dropped something and showed me how to fall in love with my husband again. It changed our marriage. Jesus at the center of your family will keep it together. Jesus, even with your children. We need to settle two things in this day and time. Number one, you better be committed to God first. It's important. And you have to be committed to your marriage and to your family and not just every other, oh, maybe we married the wrong one, or maybe we got a divorce, or maybe we did this. No. You be committed to that marriage for until death do you part. Amen? Because if you have any looseness in your commitment to God or to your family, the enemy will move in and he will divide and he will conquer. He will conquer. He will conquer. Verse 20 says, if you will fight for your family, God will fight for you. Amen? If you will fight, he said, if you will fight for your brothers, fight for your sisters, fight for your mothers, fight for your family, amen? Fight for your homes, then God will fight for you. Amen? And I want to say this. We cannot be afraid to raise kids in this day and time. Because the Bible has promised us, you know, it's almost like a spirit of fear that has come on people. You know, the times are so perilous, but we don't need to be afraid to raise kids and to raise grandkids in this time, because we have the promise from God that no weapon formed against our home that is built on the rock will prosper. No weapon will formed against them. We cannot let fear rule us over our children. And that's what the devil, he'll stop families. Don't have any kids. Don't do this. Don't do that. Are you kidding me? And it steals the blessing. Happy is the man whose quiver is full. Amen? Hallelujah. So Nehemiah built the walls. And no matter what the enemy has done to your family, no matter what he has done to your home, he rebuilt the walls, and those walls are still standing today, and you can rebuild the walls of your family. You can rebuild the walls of your marriage. If you go to Jerusalem, the walls around Jerusalem, those walls that Nehemiah built, they're still standing today. They pray at that wall, amen, that he helped rebuild, because there was a man that took a stand and obeyed God and said, I'm going to fight for my family. There is a cause worth fighting for. Remember when they were all at that wall with their spears and with their bows, the Bible said they were by families. They weren't just, you know, we picture them rebuilding the wall and all these armed warriors. No, they were families. Amen? And those families were armed warriors in the kingdom of God. So it's time to fight for our families, fight for our marriage, not to give up on it. Don't give up on your children. Satan is on a rampage, and he wants to destroy the church, but he cannot destroy the church without destroying the home. Amen? It doesn't matter how old your children. I still pray. I have two kids in their 30s. I pray for them all the time. I pray the will of God. And I'm telling you, when you fight for your families, when you build your families on the Word of God, they know it. Your kids will know it. I cannot tell you how many times the gifts of the Spirit have operated in our home, and we've gotten words of knowledge. If our kids were going to get in trouble, if our kids were doing some things, I would know it. My son would be like, he'd be like, how did you know that? Did this one tell you? No, God told me. God told me. You know? And it just so many different stories that I could tell you. And I'll just tell you this one real quick. He was about 13 years old, and I did not allow my son to listen to worldly music, any worldly music. Because when I got saved, I got radically saved, and I knew what those words were saying, you know, love me do and all that crap, you know. And I was down in his room one day, and I decided to clean it up. You know how your kids, you know, I'm just going to just go down there and give it a good cleanup. And so I went down there, and I'm making his bed, and I know some of you think, oh, that's crazy, you don't let your kids listen to worldly music. Listen to some of the words. They're so against the Bible. They're so against God. And I just was putting a sheets on or something, and we had talked, and I told my son this as a teenager. I said, listen, I will trust you. I will not fish around your room. I will not look in your drawers. I will not do things if you do something that I can't trust you, that's going to raise an awareness for me to have to do things like that. And this particular day, I was fixing, and the Spirit of God, I told me, stick your hand between his mattresses. And I pulled out, like, I can't tell you how many CDs. I was just pulling them out. And I was so angry. Because he's like, no, Mom, I'm not listening to that stuff, blah, 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 you know. I was so angry. I got in my car, drove out to Bridgewater State. Wherever they were, there was a skating park, and he was with all of his friends. And I walked around to that thing, and he looked at me, and his friends looked at me. And he walked up, and he goes, what's wrong? And I goes, get in the car. And we had a good discussion, and he burned all his CDs. And you know what? They grow up. You got to pray for them in their 20s, in their 30s. If they're not fully and completely sold out to God, you got to keep on fighting. You can't just say, oh, this is the way it is now. They're 30. That's how they're going to live. No, 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 no. Do not settle for that. You've got to fight for your family until you see them running after God. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. That was supposed to be a short story, but it was too long. If the home is the number one priority of the devil, then we better make sure it is the number one priority in our life. And it is the number one priority. The devil, you can see it all over the world, changing what the family should be, changing what marriage looks like, changing gender what looks like. You know, all of these things. The enemy, it better be our number one priority. I remember hearing a message years ago by John Osteen, and he said, you need to be in a place where the devil comes walking by your house, they look at your house, and they go, uh-oh, no, we can't go in there. That's where AJ and Lisa live. We can't go in that house. You know, that's where Pastor Mike and Laurie, oh, no, we can't go in there. You know, they might be given an assignment by the big chief Satan. You know, you need to go down there to the Faiades house, and then, oh, I can't go there, you know. We need to have that attitude, amen? We need to have that we're fighting for our family. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful that God blessed me with my children, with my husband. The happiest times in my life are the times that I spend with my family. Amen. When we're together, when we're all together, those are the best times of my life. But the devil wants to make family miserable. He wants to make it miserable with your kids, miserable marriage, you know, or he wants to make your relationship with your children miserable. No. God has blessed the family. Amen? And we need to fight for them. And we are not ignorant of his devices. I'm going to go through these scriptures really quick. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. I'm not going to read them the whole thing, but it talks about children. Children, obey your parents. Amen? It says, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first of the Ten Commandments that ends with a promise, and this is the promise. If you honor them, you will live a long life full of blessing. Listen, I didn't know this. How many of you argued with your parents? And I'm out of here. You know, when the day I turned 18, I left the house, you know. Rebellious brats we are. Because evil's in our heart. And some of you have legitimate reasons for living, but you know what? Honor your mother and father. Forgive them for what they've done. I forgave my, there were situations in our family that I had to forgive and release, and God restored us like it was, like it should have been. God's miracle power will restore your family. Amen? You know, a lot of times we still hold on. Well, it was because of my dad, or I have issues with my mom, or forgive them. Let it go. Let God restore and heal it and make it good. Amen? That's part of fighting for the family. And children, trust me, honor your parents. Don't treat them, oh, my mom, oh, my dad. That's the way the world does. In the kingdom, we need to set an example. Amen? Hallelujah. Kids don't like that. They just put their earplugs on. Hallelujah. We're gonna ban earplugs from church. And then it goes on in verse Ephesians 5, 25 through 29 says, and husband must love your wives with the same love Christ showed the church. He gave his life up for her to make her holy and clean, washed by baptism of God's word. And it just, I don't want to read all of these scriptures, but love your wife the way Christ loved the church and died for the church. You know, he didn't just love the church 1 minute. He stayed in love with the church. He still loves the church. Amen? He still, husbands, love your wife. I heard a story about it, and I was trying to find it. I don't know if I deleted it, but I heard a story about a professor. He was way up in the college. I wish I could find the story, but here it is. I was trying to find it. It's a famous story. It's told of a man who was in his 60s in the peak of his career as a college professor. And he told of how that his wife had Alzheimer's. And he resigned from the board of a known university. And at his peak, his board of directors begged him to stay. And they said, we don't understand. She doesn't even know your name. And he looked back in response and he said, she needs me. And she may not know what my name is, but I know what her name is. She may not know who I am, but I know who she is. It is a costly commitment, till death do us part. That's the kind of love that Jesus is talking about. Loving your husband, loving your wife. And then I want to talk a little bit about your children. And I know that, you know, some of us might go over stuff, but I got about 5 minutes to go, but I'm gonna get this in. In 2 Peter 2:5, I don't believe I gave them that scripture in the King James Version. It says that Noah was the eighth one to go into the ark. And now he had six children and a wife. There were seven, and he was the eighth. Here's the point. When he built the ark, if you read that scripture, before the plan could close and before he could get on that ark, he went out, and the Bible says he was the eighth one to enter in. That simply means that he made sure my children are on the ark. He looked around and he counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And the scripture specifically said that he was the eighth one on the ark. Why? Because he was making sure that his family was on the ark so that when judgment came down on the earth, his children were saved. It's kind of like a picture of the rapture. Fight for your family. Fight for your family. I'm telling you, mothers, fight for your family. Fathers, fight for your family. Noah was the last one, and when the door closed, he knew my family was here. And that's what we're called to do. When heaven comes, when the rapture takes place, when this world is over, our life doesn't end here. We have a life in eternity. And we need to fight for our families and make sure they're on the ark. Don't leave it up to the preacher. Don't leave it up to the youth pastor. Don't leave it up to a children's program. You fight for your family. You get in the Word of God and find out how to bring up your kids, your family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God gives instructions in His Word how to do it. Amen? And your children, they may be rebellious. They may go down the wrong path. But if you put enough blood on them and you put enough prayer and you put enough intercession on them, I'm telling you, there will be no hellhole in this world that can keep them and hold them back. God will bring them out. If you will fight for your family, God will fight for you. Amen? Fight for your family, parents. Stay in their business. I know some of you young people might not like this, but parents, stay in their business. Stay in their lives. And when you have to stand up and correct them, correct them. Stand for what is right. Fight for what is right. Hallelujah. I'm almost done here. I just got a couple more notes. You don't have to be a perfect family, but if you've done your best to bring them to the house of God and serve the Lord before them and have done your best to have God's presence in your home and in your life, there's something that gets on your family that they will never, ever be able to get away from. Listen, get your family in church. Get your kids. Don't wait. And, you know, when they're babies, bring them up in church. Make it a part of their life. Listen, you are not your children's pastor. And you need to bring your children to church because the pastor's anointing will minister, the children's pastor, the people that are ministering, the pastor anointing will minister to those children. And a lot of times, you know, parents get that mixed up. Oh, what's church? What's the big deal? No. You need to have them in church, and you need to have the presence of God in your home and be praying over them. And don't be, that's right, I knew I had something else, and I don't even know if I wrote it down, but be careful not to be lethargic about the things of God in your home. Sometimes a husband may want to be talk spiritual things all the time, and the wife is like, oh, can we just go get an ice cream and talk about how we want to decorate the bedroom? Or a wife wants to be spiritual, and how do we, you know, whatever. Or, you know what, don't be lethargic. Let your kids see. My kids know that I'm serious about spiritual things. Yes. You know? Sometimes they go in their room and they would close the door and I go right out. No, we're not done yet. Right. Amen? Yes. Especially those teenagers. Somebody said, Pastor Judy, wouldn't you like to have another baby? Because I love all our babies. I said, no. I said, I'd love to have a baby, but I'd never want to have another teenager. You teenagers, you guys put us through the ring. Amen? All we're trying to do is make sure that you're fulfilling the will of God for your life. Amen? We love you. Hallelujah. One more story, and then I'm going to close. This is a good one. This is for dads. We've talked about children and teens and moms, but listen to dad. And moms, don't tell me you can't find time to pray. Who was it? The Wesley's mom? Was it the Wesley's mom I'm talking about? She had eight kids, and they drove her crazy. And people say there's no time to pray, but they said of her, many of her children were great men of God. And what she did is in the middle of her kids, whatever they were doing, in the middle of the day, she would take her apron, put it over her head, and she would not take it off for an hour. She would pray for her family. And her family, many of them have been used. Look up the story of the Wesley family, changed lives, millions of people. But this is a story for you dads. It's told of a famous attorney who basically lived in Chicago. He had an alcohol problem. He was very successful and on the way every day to his law practice. He would walk on the streets of Chicago, pass a bar, and he would slip in for a morning drink every morning and then go on to his office. And he did this every day. One day, as he was walking in the snow, the snow was lightly falling. He heard a noise and he turned around and he saw his little 6-year-old boy. Somehow, he had slipped away from his mother and slipped out of the house. When he turned around and looked at the little boy, he was putting his little feet in the big footprints in the snow of his dad. And where these footprints were leading was to the local bar. Freshly, the little boy would put his little foot in the footprint of the big steps that his dad was taking, and suddenly, as he was standing outside the door of that bar, he looked back and he saw that. His boy was stepping in every one of his footsteps. He was smitten with conviction, and he ran and he scooped the boy up, took him home, put him in the arms of his mother, ran downstairs, and he says he fell to his knees and began to weep and cry, and he said, oh God, help me to never, ever again allow my footsteps to lead my children to a bar, but let my footsteps lead my children to you from this day forward. Amen. Fight for your family. I'm telling you, the anointing is on these messages. And I'm praying for an anointing. I said, Lord, I'm praying for an anointing, a special anointing to come on our families. They'll be able to fight for their families. Fight for your families. Amen.